All right, this morning's scripture reading can be found in the book of John, chapter 3, verses 22 to 30. So if we could please turn there. John, chapter 3, we're going to read verses 22 to 30. And I ask that when you get there, please stand and show reverence for the Word of God this morning. And again, if you don't have a Bible, I don't care if you're 5, 6 years old or if you're 90. If you don't have a Bible, see me so we can give you a Bible. Everyone needs the Word of God. Amen. John chapter 3, verses 22 through 30. Now the reading of the Word of God. John chapter 3, verses 22 through 30. After this, Jesus and his disciples went out into Judean countryside, where he spent some time with them and baptized. Now John was also baptizing at Ananon near Salim, because there was plenty of water and people were constantly coming to be baptized. This was before John was put in prison. An argument developed between some of John's disciples and a certain Jew over the matter of ceremonial washing. They came to John and said to him, "Rabbi, that man who was with you on the other side of the Jordan, the one you testified about, well, he is baptizing and everyone is going to him." To this, John replied, "A man can receive only what is given him from heaven. You yourselves can testify that I said, 'I am not the Christ, but I am sent ahead of him.' The bride belongs to the bridegroom. The friend who attends the bridegroom waits and listens for him and is full of joy when he hears the bridegroom's voice. That joy is mine, and it is now complete. He must become greater, and I must become less." We praise God for this portion of His holy word. This is the word of God. Amen. You may be seated. Now, I came across this. Hopefully, we do a little better this week than last week. If you guys would like to go ahead and hit that clip. Make sure the volume's on over there. Hurry up.
I am a disciple of His. I won't look back, let up, slow down, back away, or be still. My past is redeemed. I'm finished with low living, sight walking, smooth knees, colorless dreams, pain visions, mundane talking, and dwarf goals. I don't have to be right, first, top, recognized, praised, regarded, or rewarded. I now live by faith, lean on His presence, walk by patience, live by prayer and labor by power. My faith is set. My gate is fast. My goal is heaven. My road is narrow. My companions few. My guide reliable. My mission clear. I cannot be bought, compromised, detoured, lured away, turned back, or delayed. I will not flinch in the face of sacrifice, hesitate in the presence of the adversary, or negotiate at the table of the enemy. I won't give up, shut up, let up, until I have stayed up, stored up, prayed up, paid up, preached up for the cause of Christ. I am a disciple of Jesus. I must go until He comes, give till I drop, preach till all know, and work till He stops me. And when He comes for His own, He will have no problems recognizing me. My banner will be clear.
Amen. Amen. You get fired up a little bit this morning. He must increase and I must decrease. One of my favorite phrases of scripture that comes out of the mouth of John the Baptizer is, "He must become greater and I must become less." A serious follower of Christ must keep these words resonating within his or her own heart and mind. Before we talk about the portion of scripture, I wanted to go back, though, in the book of John to chapter 1, verses 22 and 23. So if you guys would open back up to the scriptures there. Chapter 1, verses 22 to 23. We look here at John the Baptist, John the Baptizer. Here we see here that he is questioned by some other Jews. And he says in chapter 1, verses 22 and 23, "Finally, they said, 'Who are you? Give us an answer to take back to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself? John replied in the words of Isaiah the prophet, I am the voice of the one calling in the desert. Make straight the way for the Lord. Finally, they say to John, who are you? Give us an answer so we can take back those who sent us. What do you say about yourself? You know, we should all hope that we are in a place in our walk where people around us start asking who we are and what we have to say for ourselves as Christians. Ever have family or co-workers interested in your faith and what you believe by the way you live and project yourself? The people seeing John, they seen the people gathering, all coming to John to be baptized. And they all wanted to know, who is this guy? Who do you claim to be? Do you claim to be the Messiah? They all wanted to know because of what he was projecting out, what he was putting out there to the people. And so it grabbed their attention. John goes on in verse 23. John replied in the words of Isaiah the prophet. He said, I am the voice of the one calling in the desert. Make straight the way for the Lord. We know that Isaiah's words were a direct prophecy of John the Baptizer. We know that it was prophesied hundreds of years earlier that John would be the one that would come and prepare the way for the Messiah. But can't we and shouldn't we also take to heart the same calling in our own faith? We don't have to have some prophet prophesy that you are going to be born and live at this time to make way for the Lord Jesus Christ. Because we are all called to do so as believers in Jesus Christ. I am the voice of one calling in the desert. Make straight the ways for the Lord. Couldn't we consider today as to be living in a spiritual desert? Shouldn't our voices be calling out the name of the Lord in this spiritual desert, this life that we live, this valley that we live? Shouldn't our voice be calling out the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and no other name? Shouldn't we be involved in others' lives to help show them how Jesus, the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God, can make straight paths in one's own life when we make ways for the Lord in our heart? Think about it. John was called and created for that moment of time to stand in that place to preach repentance, to turn to God, to prepare the people's hearts for Jesus Christ so that when Jesus came, their hearts would be ready to receive Him and to follow Him. That was John's calling. Isn't it a calling for us today, created, living in this valley that we live in, to be placed in a place, in a setting, in a job, in a family with relatives or friends, to be putting forth the calling of the name of Jesus Christ in the hearts of people today to set way their hearts towards the Lord Jesus Christ? Think about this. See if the Spirit puts people right now in your mind. See if He brings people to your mind right now that maybe He wants to use you to share the good news of the gospel, to share forgiveness through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, to share how to have eternal life. God will bring people into your life so that you could prepare their hearts to make way for the power of the King within their lives. Now, I can almost guarantee God has brought someone who does not know Him personally into your path so they can hear your voice. And not just to hear your voice, but to hear your voice bring the power, the truth of the gospel into their lives. Amen? I can almost guarantee God has brought someone in your life who is suffering, dealing with heartache, pain, or difficulty. Are you not responsible to be the voice in their life making way for the encouraging and healing ways of Jesus Christ our Lord? We are. We are. We are called to something much greater than what the world thinks they are called to. We are called to something much greater. We are called to be the children of God, the servants of the Most High King. And it is not to deal with inanimate objects in this world or to build up bank accounts or to gain prestige in our own name. It is to affect real living people whose souls are eternal. Every soul is eternal. It just matters where that soul will remain when it leaves this earth. It is the difference of shed blood of Jesus covering your sins or not. And so when we are in our own circle of life, people are hurting or brought into it, we are called to be the voice calling out in the spiritual desert to make way for the Lord Jesus Christ in their heart. When the unsaved, the ones who don't know, who just think you get to heaven by good works, which we all know what? It's not by good works that gets into heaven, right? When those people are called into our life, or when people are confused about what the Bible actually says, it is our responsibility to be the voice in the spiritual desert to make ways, the path in their hearts to the Lord Jesus Christ. It is our responsibility. It is not just a choice. John chapter 1 verse 29, it says the next day, John saw Jesus coming towards him, and this is what he said, so everyone could hear. Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. That phrase, maybe not in those exact words, but that phrase should be on the tips of our tongues every opportunity we get. To look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. The Lamb of God who took away my sins. The Lamb of God who took away your sins. The Lamb of God that could take away all sins. When we get involved in others' lives, we can say, hey, this is my past. This is my hurt. These are my mistakes. This is my helplessness. But look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Are we being that voice to the people in our lives? Are we being that voice to the people in our lives? Verse 30 goes on to say, this is the one I meant when I said, a man who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me. Some people are afraid to share their faith because of their past or because maybe you feel like you would be a hypocrite if you share your faith. John says, hey, now he didn't really say it this way, but I'm paraphrasing it, okay? Hey, you followed me, but I'm a sinner just like you. This is the one who comes, who has surpassed me because he was before me. He is God. I'm a sinner. You can call me a hypocrite with my past, but I say I'm not here preaching of myself. I'm preaching of the one who saved me from my past. The one who surpasses me. The one who was before me. So when you share with people, maybe you feel, well, I don't know if I really can share with people because of all I've been through. Guess what? You're not sharing with them about who you are and how great you are. You're sharing about where you were and how great He is, who surpassed you, and you can boast about Him because He is perfect. We already talked about this. As Christians, we're all hypocrites. That's why we need a Savior. Because we need to be saved from our own hypocrisy. But we need to let the people in the world know that guess what? By denying it, you're just as big of a hypocrite because now you have pride in the situation because you're not receiving the Savior that can save you from it. Now, let's get to my favorite verse for this Sunday. One of them. Let's set things up here a little. The crowds were all starting to not follow Jesus. They were all starting to follow Jesus instead of John. And all those who were helping and following John, they started to say, now you picture this, okay? Here's John the baptizer, and he has this group of friends. You know, his disciples have been following and helping him out. And they're looking over at Jesus, and Jesus is over there baptizing people. And his friends say, hey, John, what's the deal with that guy? He's the guy you talked about, but everyone is leaving us, and they're going over and hanging out with him. What are we going to do about it? And John says, hey, listen, this is the one that we were preparing the way for. He's the Christ. And then he says, he must become greater and I must become less. John basically says, I've done what I was called to do from the Father in heaven. I need to step aside. He must become greater and I must become less. Number one, there's something here that there's a couple things that we learn from this verse. Number one is, don't ever think your ministry or your calling is bigger than Jesus. Doesn't matter what you do, okay? Don't ever think your ministry or your calling is bigger than Jesus, because it's not. John understood that. Hey, I need to step back and submit to the one who is much greater. I need to become less. Be aware. Beware when achievements are boasting of yourself more than Jesus. Beware when achievements are starting to be boasted more for yourself than Jesus. Now, secondly, as we know, and we talked about many times, the key to Christian maturity, I believe, and I've said it many times, is humility. I must decrease and he must increase. What can that mean personally? Number one, it's not about me, this life. It's about him. And I know you hear that a lot in my messages, but that's because it takes a lot, like we said, sometimes our brains they're gunked up. And we need to continually be ramming stuff in to get the gunk out, to be reminded of the fact that it's not about me or this life. It's about Jesus. It's about Him. And I share that with you so many times because I need to remind myself that it's not about me. Because I want to make it about me. It's good. It's exciting to make it about me. Because there is no other me. There's just me. But it's not about me. It's about Jesus. And so I need to remind myself over and over and over again. How dare you do... Oh, it's not about me. Who do you think you are? Oh, it's not about me. How much am I wrapped up in me versus wrapped up in Jesus? Are we going to be honest? Can I hope for 50-50? I guess it depends on what kind of day I'm having. Sometimes it's 90-10 wrapped up in me. Sometimes it's 50-50. Sometimes maybe it's 80-20 wrapped up in Jesus. Those are the good days. But we got to be honest with ourselves. How much am I wrapped up in me and my life versus wrapped up in Jesus? And now if we could only understand that this is what the Bible tries to tell us and teach us. If I am wrapped up in Jesus instead of me, I don't have to be so concerned about wrapped up in myself because God already got it. Why can't I get that through my head? If I'm less wrapped up in myself and more wrapped up in Him, God already got it, and I don't have to worry about myself because He's already got it. Lord, help me to understand that. When I think of the times I struggle in the flesh, am I allowing my flesh to be increased in my heart over the Holy Spirit? So many times. So many times do I allow the flesh to wrap up my heart and take precedence over the Holy Spirit. I hear that Holy Spirit sometimes say, na, 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 na. And I say, So take a seat, Jack. Right, Bob? We need the Holy Spirit to be the thing that rises up within us, that is increased within us, that is wrapped up in our heart, because the Holy Spirit is going to look out for us in the best way and point us in the right direction. And guess what? I may think I know the direction I need to go, and I may think I know what's best for me, but guess what? I really don't. And I can prove it by looking back at the things and choices I made. So, let's get it through my head. I need to be wrapped up in the Holy Spirit more instead of my flesh. Is Jesus becoming greater in your life? You know, when you're young, you think, Abigail, when you're young, you think, and I said this to you the other day, you think the sun rotates around you. She's going to be mad at me. When you're young, you think that the sun rotates around you because you think that you are all that there is and everything rotates around you and everything should be about you. But as you get older, as you get a little bit more mature, you know, I like sometimes talking to older Christians who have been around the block a couple times. And you see their humility and their wisdom as they realize that, as they look back at life, it was so much less about them than it was more about God. You know, when we're young, we're ready to go, we have all this energy, and we think we can just conquer the whole world, which isn't necessarily a bad thing. It's good to have zeal for the Lord. But be careful in your zeal that you become prideful. In your maturity, in your wisdom, you can look and say, hey, I can have zeal, but as I grow in the Lord, I understand it's not about me, and if it don't go this way, it's okay, as long as it's going according to the will of the Father, and I'm trusting in Him. You start to put things in perspective and see that there's a much greater and bigger picture that is out there. And I don't know about you, but I want to be in the greater picture that God has set up for me. So, let us walk now in that attitude of humility and grace. Sometimes we need to step out of our own way and allow the one who can actually do something about it come in and take control. I need to decrease. I need to become less. He needs to become greater in my life. Those times I want to do things where my flesh is saying, go ahead. I need to be able to allow the Holy Spirit to come in there and pound that out. And, you know, just take an example of this. You want to fill yourself up with the Holy Spirit. All right? You don't want to be dry with your flesh. Because it's going to take you in places that you won't want to go. And then you'll probably end up blaming God anyways after you got there. We want to make sure that we're trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, stepping ourselves to the side. God, take the lead in my life and show me where I need to be and who I need to be and where I need to go. Who I can serve, who I can minister, who I can help. Not for any pat on my own back, but for the glory of you, O God. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you and praise you for your awesomeness. We thank you and praise you, Lord God, for your unconditional love. Lord God, help us all, and I am in the front of the line in saying that I may decrease and you increase in me. Lord God, let us come and repent. Turn our hearts to you, Lord God. Turn away from our own flesh and sin. Lord God, May we bow before you and allow your Holy Spirit to lift us back up. May you be glorified, Lord, in our lives. And as John, Lord God, let us be the ones calling out in the wilderness, preparing people's hearts for the gospel of Jesus Christ. We love you in Jesus' name. This last song we're going to sing this morning, believe it or not, is a song that I wrote long time ago. And, you know, it wasn't really a song that was about me at all. I was thinking about other things, but as the years have gone on, I realized this song is all about me. Because it's about the importance of coming before the Lord and asking for forgiveness and coming back to Him. So let's stand together as we worship.
Come into your sanctuary, I come to worship you. I know I've fallen down, and I need to come before you. When life has worship and lift my hands to you. Repenting, coming back to you. Praying that I never turn from you.
As I see your faithfulness.
This morning together. Lord God, let our hearts be returning to you if they have fallen aside. Lord God, let's be able to know that we can call upon you, and in your goodness and grace and through the shed blood of Jesus, there is forgiveness and we can live for you. There is refreshment that comes in our spirits and souls, and we can give it all to you. And Lord God, we can move forward living just for you as you increase in us and we decrease. We love you and praise you. Christ's holy, precious name we pray. And all God's people said,
amen.
Have a great week in the Lord.
Again, I'd like to thank you for listening to Voice in the Valley. We'd like to remind you that if you'd like to come join us on a Sunday morning, we have a church van that can come and pick you up. Just call the church before 9 a.m. on Sunday. The phone number is 570-645-2212. And leave your name and your address and your phone number, and we'll come pick you up. Also, our Thankful Thrift Store is open every Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. and on Saturdays from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. at 24 West Ridge Street, Lansford. The phone number is 570-645-9920. So if you get a chance, stop by, come in, say hi, and we have all kinds of things in the Thankful Thrift Store. We hope that you have a great and blessed week.